VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us today. I have a very important program today as the media of our nation are talking daily and getting our attention on so many different things, causing us to focus on the latest COVID numbers, the number of cases rising state by state, the latest mask directives, the rise of anarchy taking places in you know, places like Portland, things that are going on there. We see the war on police, the defunding of police, the call for changing our voting system, the pulling down of statues. And while all of these things are unfolding, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres just gave a speech this past Saturday, July 18th, delivered virtually to South Africa's Nelson Mandela Foundation. We want you to hear the Secretary General in his own words. We're going to be airing the speech today in which you'll hear him calling for a new worldwide social contract he calls the Global New Deal. We're going to get right into that. It's a total of about 24 minutes, right into part one of that speech now. We'll hear part two in the next segment, and then we'll be having you comment on this as well. Let's get right now to the UN Secretary General.
President Cyril Ramaphosa, excellencies, distinguished guests, friends. It is a privilege to join you in honoring Nelson Mandela, an extraordinary global leader, advocate, and role model. I thank the Nelson Mandela Foundation for this opportunity and commend their work to keep his vision alive. And I send my deepest condolences to the Mandela family and to the government and people of South Africa on the untimely passing of Ambassador Zindzi Mandela earlier this week. May she rest in peace. I was fortunate enough to meet Nelson Mandela several times. I will never forget his wisdom, determination, and compassion, which shone forth in everything he said and did. Last August, in my holidays, I visited Madiba's cell at Robben Island. I stood there, looking through the bars, humbled again by his enormous mental strength and incalculable courage. Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in prison, 18 of them at Robben Island. But he never allowed this experience to define him or his life. Nelson Mandela rose above his jailers to liberate millions of South Africans and become a global inspiration and a modern icon. He devoted his life to fighting the inequality that has reached crisis proportions around the world in recent decades and that poses a growing threat to our future. And so today, on Madiba's birthday, I will talk about how we can address the many mutually reinforcing strands and layers of inequality before they destroy our economies and societies. Dear friends, COVID-19 is shining a spotlight on this injustice. The world is in turmoil, economies are in free fall, and we have been brought to our knees by a microscopic virus. The pandemic has demonstrated the fragility of our world. It has laid bare risks we have ignored for decades. Inadequate health systems, gaps in social protection, structural inequalities, environmental degradation, the climate crisis. Entire regions that were making progress on eradicating poverty and narrowing inequality have been set back years in a matter of months. The virus poses the greatest risk to the most vulnerable, those living in poverty, older people, and people with disabilities and pre-existing conditions. And health workers are on the front lines with more than 4,000 infected in South Africa alone. I pay tribute to them. In some countries, health inequalities are amplified as not just private hospitals, but businesses and even individuals are ordering precious equipment that is urgently needed for everyone. A tragic example of inequality. The economic fallout of the pandemic is affecting those who work in the informal economy, small and medium-sized businesses, and people with caring responsibilities who are mainly women. We face the deepest global recession since World War II and the broadest collapse in incomes since 1870. 100 million more people could be pushed into extreme poverty, and we could see famines of historic proportions. COVID-19 has been likened to an X-ray, revealing fractures in the fragile skeleton of the societies we have built. It is exposing fallacies and falsehoods everywhere. The lie that free markets can deliver healthcare for all. The fiction that unpaid care work is not work. The delusion that we live in a post-racist world. The myth that we are all in the same boat. Because while we are all floating on the same sea, it is clear that some are in super yachts, with others are clinging to drifting debris. Dear friends, inequality defines our time. More than 70% of the world's people are living with rising income and wealth inequality. The 26 richest people in the world hold as much wealth as half the global population. But income, pay, and wealth are not the only measures of inequality. People's chances in life depend on their gender, family and ethnic background, race, whether or not they have a disability, and other factors. Multiple inequalities intersect and reinforce each other across the generations. The lives and expectations of millions of people are largely determined by their circumstances at birth. In this way, inequality works against human development for everyone. We all suffer its consequences. High levels of inequality are associated with economic instability, corruption, financial crisis, increased crime, and poor physical and mental health. Discrimination, abuse, and lack of access to justice define inequality for many, particularly indigenous people, migrants, refugees, and minorities of all kinds. Such inequalities are a direct assault on human rights. Addressing inequality has therefore been a driving force throughout history for social justice, labor rights, and gender equality. The vision and promise of the United Nations is that food, healthcare, water and sanitation, education, decent work and social security are not commodities for sale to those who can afford them, but basic human rights to which we are all entitled. We work to reduce inequality every day, everywhere, and that vision is as important today as it was 75 years ago. It is at the heart of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, our agreed blueprint for peace and prosperity on a healthy planet. And captured in Sustainable Development Goal 10, reduce inequality within and between countries. Dear friends, even before the COVID-19 pandemic, many people around the world understood that inequality was undermining their life chances and opportunities. They saw a world out of balance. They felt left behind. They saw economic policies channeling resources upwards to the privileged few. Millions of people from all continents took to the streets to make their voices heard. High and rising inequalities were a common factor. The anger feeding two recent social movements reflects utter disillusionment with the status quo. Women everywhere have called time on one of the most egregious examples of gender inequality. Violence perpetrated by powerful women against by powerful men against women who are simply trying to do their jobs. And the anti-racist movement that has spread from the United States around the world in the aftermath of George Floyd's killing is one more sign that people have had enough. Enough of inequality and discrimination that treats people as criminals on the basis of their skin color. Enough of the structural racism and systematic injustice that deny people their fundamental human rights. These movements point to two of the historic sources of inequality in our world, colonialism and patriarchy. The global north, especially my own continent of Europe, imposed colonial rule on much of the global south for centuries through violence and coercion. Colonialism created vast inequality within and between countries, including the evils of the transatlantic slave trade and the apartheid regime here in South Africa. After the Second World War, the creation of the United Nations was based on a new global consensus around equality and human dignity, and the wave of decolonization swept the world. But let's not fool ourselves. The legacy of colonialism still reverberates. We see this in the economic and social injustice, the rise of hate crimes and xenophobia, the persistence of institutionalized racism and white supremacy. We see this in the global trade system. Economies that were colonized are at greater risk of getting locked into the production of raw materials and low-tech goods, a new form of colonialism. And we see this in global power relations. Africa has been a double victim. First, as a target of the colonial project. Second, African countries are underrepresented in the international institutions that were created after the Second World War because before most of them had won independence. The nations that came out on top more than seven decades ago have refused to contemplate the reforms needed to change power relations in international institutions. The composition and voting rights in the United Nations Security Council and the boards of the Bretton Woods system are a case in point. Inequality starts at the top, in global institutions. Addressing inequality must start by reforming them. And let's not forget another great source of inequality in our world, millennia of patriarchy. We live in a male-dominated world with a male-dominated culture. Everywhere, women are worse off than men simply because they are women. Inequality and discrimination are the norm. Violence against women, including femicide, is at epidemic levels. And globally, women are still excluded from senior positions in governments and on corporate boards. Fewer than 1 in 10 world leaders is a woman. Gender inequality harms everyone because it prevents us from benefiting from the intelligence and experience of all of humanity. This is why, as a proud feminist, I have made gender equality a top priority and gender parity now a reality in top UN jobs. I urge leaders of all kinds to do the same. And I am pleased to announce that South Africa's Sia Kolisi is our new global champion for the United Nations European Union Spotlight Initiative, engaging other men in fighting the global scourge of violence against women and girls. Dear friends, recent decades have created new tensions and trends. Globalization and technological change have indeed fueled enormous gains in income and prosperity, and more than 1 billion people have moved out of extreme poverty. But the expansion of trade and technological progress have also contributed to an unprecedented shift in income distribution. Between 1980 and 2016, the world's richest 1% captured 27% of the total cumulative growth in income. Low-skilled workers face an onslaught from new technologies, automation, the offshoring of manufacturing, and the demise of labor organizations. Tax concessions, tax avoidance, and tax evasion remain widespread. Corporate tax rates have fallen. And this has reduced resources to invest in the very services that can reduce inequality: social protection, education, healthcare. And the new generation of inequalities goes beyond income and wealth to encompass the knowledge and skills needed to succeed in today's world. Deep disparities begin before birth and define lives and early death.
We're going to break right there in this speech. This is, again, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, as he spoke this past Saturday, pushing for a global New Deal. So he's kind of laid out his case for this. You're going to be hearing more about that global New Deal here following the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, we know that Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world. Was that also covered by the waters of Noah's flood?
Chris, the Bible says that the entire earth was covered by water, but I really don't think Mount Everest existed at the time of the flood. Mount Everest, and indeed all the mountain chains in the world, are made up of ocean bottom sediments. These sediments were deposited as mud at the bottom of the flood ocean. Late in the flood, they were uplifted into our present mountain chains. In fact, at the top of Mount Everest are fossils of ocean bottom clams. This does not mean that the floodwaters sloshed over Mount Everest. Sediments which now make up Mount Everest were deposited at the bottom of the flood ocean and then uplifted to form Mount Everest. Chris, the entire world was altered by the great flood of Noah's day. This we're told when we go back to Genesis.
You can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
Yeah.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We're listening today to a speech that was given this past Saturday from the UN Secretary General. This is Guterres, Antonio Guterres. He gave this speech as it was given virtually to South Africa's Nelson Mandela Foundation and pushes for a global new deal. We're going to learn more about that in this segment. The speech is approximately 12 more minutes in length. I want you to hear in his own words as he talks about the combating of inequality around the world. Let's get right back to that speech. A little bit later, we'll be opening up our phone lines for your comments on it.
More than 50% of 20-year-olds in countries with very high human development are in higher education. In low human development countries, that figure is 3%. Even more shocking, some 17% of the children born 20 years ago in countries with low human development have already died. Dear friends, looking to the future, two seismic shifts will shape the 21st century: the climate crisis and digital transformation. Both could widen inequalities even further. Some of the developments in today's tech and innovation hubs are cause for serious concern. The heavily male-dominated tech industry is not only missing out on half the world's expertise and perspectives, it is also using algorithms that could further entrench gender and racial discrimination. The digital divide reinforces social and economic divides from literacy to healthcare, from urban to rural, from kindergarten to college. In 2019, some 87% of people in developed countries use the internet, compared with just 19% in the least developed countries. We are in danger of a two-speed world. At the same time, by 2050, we estimate that accelerating climate change will affect millions of people through malnutrition, malaria and other diseases, migration, and extreme weather events. This creates serious threats to intergenerational equality and justice. Today's young climate protesters are on the front lines of the fight against inequality. The countries that are most affected by climate disruption did the least to contribute to global heating. The green economy will be a new source of prosperity and employment. But let's not forget that some people will lose their jobs, particularly in post-industrial rust belts of our world. And this is why we call not only for climate action, but climate justice. Political leaders must raise their ambition, businesses must raise their sights, and people everywhere must raise their voices. There is a better way, and we must take it. Dear friends, the corrosive effects of today's levels of inequality are clear. We are sometimes told a rising tide of economic growth lifts all boats, but in reality, rising inequality sinks all boats. Confidence in institutions and leaders is eroding. Voter turnout has fallen by a global average of 10% since the beginning of the 90s. And people who feel marginalized and vulnerable to arguments that blame their misfortune on others, particularly those who look or behave differently. But populism, nationalism, extremism, racism, and scapegoating will only create new inequalities and divisions within and between communities, between countries, between ethnicities, between religions. Dear friends, COVID-19 is a human tragedy, but it has also created a generational opportunity, an opportunity to build back a more equal and sustainable world. The response to the pandemic and to the widespread discontent that preceded it must be based on a new social contract and a new global deal that create equal opportunities for all and respect the rights and freedoms of all. This is the only way that we will meet the goals of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, the Paris Agreement and the Addis Ababa Action Agenda, agreements that address precisely the failures that are being exposed and exploited by the pandemic. A new social contract within societies will enable young people to live in dignity, will ensure women have the same prospects and opportunities as men, and will protect the sick, the vulnerable, and minorities of all kinds. Education and digital technology must be two great enablers and equalizers. As Nelson Mandela said, and I quote, "Education is the most powerful weapon we can use to change the world." As always, he said it first. governments must prioritize equal access from early learning to lifelong education. Neuroscience tells us that preschool education changes the lives of individuals and brings enormous benefits to communities and societies. So when the richest children are 7 times more likely than the poorest to attend preschool, it is no surprise that inequality is intergenerational. To deliver quality education for all, we need to more than double education spending in low- and middle-income countries by 2030 to $3 trillion a year. Within a generation, all children in low- and middle-income countries could have access to quality education at all levels. This is possible. We just have to decide to do it. And as technology transforms our world, learning facts and skills is not enough. Governments need to prioritize investment in digital literacy and infrastructure. Learning how to learn, adapt, and take on new skills will be essential. The digital revolution and artificial intelligence will change the nature of work and the relationship between work, leisure, and other activities, some of which we cannot even imagine today. The Roadmap for Digital Cooperation, launched at the United Nations last month, promotes a vision of an inclusive, sustainable digital future by connecting the remaining 4 billion people to the Internet by 2030. And the United Nations has also launched GIGA, an ambitious project to get every school in the world online. Technology can turbocharge the recovery from COVID-19 and the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals. Dear friends, growing gaps in trust between people, institutions, and leaders threaten us all. People want social and economic systems that work for everyone. They want their human rights and fundamental freedoms to be respected. They want a say in decisions that affect their lives. The new social contract between governments, people, civil society, businesses, and more must integrate employment, sustainable development, and social protection based on equal rights and opportunities for all. Labor market policies, combined with constructive dialogue between employers and labor representatives, can improve pay and working conditions. Labor representation is also critical to manage the challenges posed to jobs by technology and structural transformation, including the transition to a green economy. The labor movement has a proud history of fighting inequality and working for the rights and dignity of all. The gradual integration of the informal sector into social protection frameworks is essential. A changing world requires a new generation of social protection policies with new safety nets, including universal health coverage and the possibility of a universal basic income. Establishing minimum levels of social protection and reversing chronic underinvestment in public services, including education, healthcare, and internet access, are essential. But this is not enough to tackle entrenched inequalities. We need affirmative action programs and targeted policies to address and redress historic inequalities in gender, race, or ethnicity that have been reinforced by social norms. Taxation has also a role in the new social contract. Everyone, individuals and corporations, must pay their fair share. In some countries, there is a place for taxes that recognize that the wealthy and well-connected have benefited enormously from the state and from their fellow citizens. Governments would also shift the tax burden from payrolls to carbon. Taxing carbon rather than people will increase output and employment while reducing emissions. We must break the vicious circle of corruption, which is both a cause and effect of inequality. Corruption reduces and wastes funds available for social protection. It weakens social norms and the rule of law. And fighting corruption depends on accountability. And the greatest guarantee of accountability is a vibrant civil society, including a free, independent media and responsible social media platforms that encourage healthy debate. Dear friends, let's face the facts. The global political and economic system is not delivering on critical global public goods: public health, climate action, sustainable development, peace. The COVID-19 pandemic has brought home the tragic disconnect between self-interest and the common interest, and the huge gaps in governance structures and ethical frameworks. To close those gaps and to make the new social contract possible, we need a new global deal to ensure that power, wealth, and opportunities are shared more broadly and fairly at the international level. A new model for global governance must be based on full, inclusive, and equal participation in global institutions. Without that, we face even wider inequalities and gaps in solidarity, like those we see today in the fragmented global response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Developed countries are strongly invested in their own survival in the face of the pandemic, but they have failed to deliver enough support needed to help the developing world through the dangerous times. A new global deal based on a fair globalization, on the rights and dignity of every human being, on living in balance with nature, on taking account of the rights of future generations, and on success measured in human, rather economic terms, is the best way to change this. The worldwide consultation process around the 75th anniversary of the United Nations has made clear that people want a global governance system that delivers for them. The developing world must have a far stronger voice in global decision-making. We also need a more inclusive and balanced multilateral trading system that enables developing countries to move up global value chains. Illicit financial flows, money laundering, and tax evasion must be prevented. A global consensus to end tax havens is essential. We must work together to integrate the principles of sustainable development into financial decision-making. Financial markets must be full partners in shifting the flow of resources away from the brown and the grey to the green, the sustainable, and the equitable. And the reform of the debt architecture and access to affordable credit must create fiscal space for countries to move investment in the same direction. Dear friends, Nelson Mandela said, and I quote, "One of the challenges of our time is to reinstill in the consciousness of our people that sense of human solidarity, of being in the world for one another and because and through others." End of quote. The COVID-19 pandemic has reinforced this message more strongly than ever. We belong to each other. We stand together or we fall apart. Today, in demonstrations for racial equality, in campaigns against hate speech, in the struggles of people claiming their rights and standing up for future generations, we see the beginnings of a new movement. This movement rejects inequality and division and unites young people, civil society, the private sector, cities, regions, and others behind policies for peace, our planet, justice, and human rights for all. It is already making a difference. Now is the time for global leaders to decide. Will you succumb to chaos, division, and inequality? Or will you right the wrongs of the past and move forward together for the good of all? We are at the breaking point, but we know which side of history we are on. Thank you.
The UN Secretary General, as he spoke this past Saturday, giving this special speech, he gave this to an anniversary speech of Nelson Mandela Foundation, and was delivered virtually to them. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to have some thoughts regarding this speech following the break, and then we'll be opening some phone lines in the next segment as well. So stay tuned. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, allowing you to hear in his own words and pulling together using COVID-19 as the catalyst for bringing about this global new deal. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
From Ray Comfort and Living Waters comes the dramatic film Audacity, tackling a very divisive issue today, homosexuality. Challenged by a co-worker to defend his convictions about homosexuality and same-sex marriage, Peter has to consider if he has the courage to stand for what he believes, even at the risk of losing a friendship. How will he respond when faced with a harrowing life or death experience? Audacity uses a unique approach to address a very contemporary issue and challenges the viewer to reach out and approach the greatest spiritual need everyone faces. Audacity is a 55-minute powerful dramatic film that will impact your life. Get your copy of Audacity for a donation of $5, or 5 copies for a donation of $18, 10 copies for $25 when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
promoting a new social contract. We had here also the Global New Deal. Yes, this was a speech given by the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres as he gave it this past Saturday, July 18th, as we hear ratcheted up this talk about climate justice and also calling for a new a Global New Deal. Guterres identified inequality, highlighted by this COVID-19 pandemic, writes Walter Maas of thenewamerican.com. The COVID-19 is the social ill that must be remedied by the new global deal. And while he did not specifically state that the UN must implement this deal, his language suggested a supranational approach to putting his proposals into effect. Just want to share a few of those quotes again. He said it's the heart of the 2030 agenda for sustainable development. There are agreed blueprint for peace and prosperity on a healthy planet, and it captured in SDG 10, produce inequality within and between countries. He said, this is why we call not only for climate action, but for climate justice. And then listen to this key paragraph. He said, COVID-19 is a human tragedy, but it has also created a generational opportunity, an opportunity to build back a more equal and sustainable world. He said the response to the pandemic and the widespread discontent that predicted it must be based on a new social contract and a new global deal that create equal opportunities for all and respect the rights and freedoms of all. This is the only way that we meet the goals of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, the Paris Agreement, and the Addis Ababa Action Agenda. Agreements that address precisely the failures that are being exposed and exploited by the pandemic. He said a new social contract will enable young people to live in dignity, will ensure women have the same prospects and opportunities as men, will protect the sick, the vulnerable, and minorities of all kinds. The 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and the Paris Agreement show the way forward. The 17 Sustainable Development Goals address precisely the failures that are being exposed and exploited by the pandemic. He said the new social contract between governments, people, civil society, businesses must integrate employment, sustainable development, and social protection based on equal rights and opportunities for all. Folks, these are the very things that Alex Newman has been warning about here in this program. That's the very thing that Tom DeWeese has been warning about on this program. The very things that Gary Kaa has warned about on this program as well. And this was another speech to propel the United Nations in that regard. Again, it is about taxation. It's about redistribution policies that are in order by the United Nations and the government shifting the tax burden from payrolls to carbon. It's all about putting in the Paris Accord here as well, and calls for this new social contract, this Global New Deal. And he said, let's face facts. The global political and economic system are not delivering on critical global public goods, public health, climate action, sustainable development, peace. And to close these gaps and to make the new social contract possible, we need a Global New Deal, a redistribution of power, wealth, and opportunities. Folks, it's no longer secret. I mean, it's so blatant out there that is coming from the United Nations. This is something that, of course, the current administration has been leading us away from. Others are seeking to get us back into a real cozy relationship with the United Nations once again. He also called for a new global deal based on a fair globalization on the rights and dignity of every human being, living in balance with nature, taking account of the rights of future generations on the success measured in human rather than economic terms, and developing world must have a stronger voice in global decision making. Would like to get your reaction to this. Because as our country is very much consumed in the nightly news, what's going on in Portland and all the other places of violence and anarchic-like tactics that are being utilized, We have those that continue to push for a one-world government, a new deal, a new global new deal that is taking place. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. You see, the UN is not letting any crisis go to waste, but using the occasion now of COVID-19 to push why we need this global governance to take place, why we need the so-called redistribution of wealth to take place here across the land. This is what's being focused on, and this is what is being pushed right now, even as the world is consumed in many other issues. And when you take a look and you go to sites like thenewamerican.com or americanpolicy.org, you're going to find out and see those sustainable goals, the 17 goals. We have done programs in which we have gone through them exactly, but it is totally redoing life as we know it here in the United States, and surrenders our sovereignty to the United Nations through these sustainable goals. We'll take your comments on it. Let's begin with Courtney in Miami, Florida. Hi, Courtney. You're on the air.
Okay. God bless you, and thank you for taking my call. And I just want to lift up the name of Jesus by this. Saints, stay in your word of God. Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. What we just heard was a speech from Satan's platform. Let us get out there and vote like we never did before, because God said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. These things are going to happen, but all we have to do is stay in the word of God and in his hands. Mm. God bless you all, and watch your kids going to school, what they're learning. God bless you now.
Thank you, Courtney. Appreciate the call. And indeed, having a cognizance of the propulsion that is behind this movement that's happening in the world right now. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture talks about this global governance that's coming. Folks, we're seeing these things right before our very eyes today. Tom is calling from Port Wing. You're on the air.
Well, my comment on his speech would be this. It's very handy to have a digital word slicer playing while he's speaking, and you'll find out that his words do not follow the actions that they're asking for. For instance, Jim, in the issue of individual freedoms, nothing could be farther from their goals. Individual freedoms are not what they're interested in. They're interested in the communist idea of group, not the individual. The individual is expendable, whether it's an older person or a young child.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're saying. And you must be very careful when you listen to these people speak. They are a double-minded man, and that's what he is. That's my comment.
Thank you. And you're right. He talked about respecting the rights and freedoms of all. But when you follow through what he's wanting to have obtained for the world, including the United States, it's a total removal of the freedoms as we know them. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Leroy in Atlanta, Georgia, you're on the air.
Yeah, I got like four things, Jim. Let's start with when he said basically that the problem with women that they have is that they aren't men. I mean, what is that? So his answer should be that, well, now all women should become men. That's never going to happen. You know, and then with the taxation thing you mentioned, at one point he's talking about, you know, giving out money and sharing with everybody and talking about poverty. But then everybody has to pay everyone has to pay their own share.
Fair share, he says.
Even mm-hmm. the people that don't have money?
Mm-hmm. Everyone has to pay their own fair share. He complained, too, about the taxes on corporations were decreasing and complained about the finances some have when others don't have. I mean, it's really a total redistribution of wealth, Leroy.
And the last thing is this. He has turned equality / inequality into the new black. They're crazy. They are crazy.
Yeah. Thank you, Leroy. Appreciate your comments. Our number 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We have Zeke calling from Elroy. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for doing the program. I almost couldn't listen to the whole speech because it reminded me of something from the Third Reich from Joseph Goebbels. Good grief. This was absolutely amazing. I'm overcome with emotions. I apologize. And I can't fathom that our country is falling for something like this right now.
Yeah. Well, this is his push for it, and thankfully we have those in leadership that are not falling for this right now, but there are those others who represent us in Congress who are pushing for things just like this to take place.
Yeah, but we have no voice. If you see this, we have Trey Gowdy. We have all these guys that spout a big, you know, a big a sermon, and nothing happens. Yeah. What's up?
Yeah. Thank you, Zeke. Well, let's go to Eddie in Glasgow, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. Thank you for taking my call. I've got a couple things. I'll say them real quick. The last president that we had, according to Henry Kissinger, he was groomed to be a global president, and thank God it failed. I'm glad we've got a president now that's trying to help this country, trying to put America first. But even Jesus didn't pray for the world. That great priestly prayer that he prayed in John chapter 17, verse number 9, he said, neither pray I for the world, but for these which thou hast given me. There's something to note right there.
Yeah.
We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And the Bible says friendship of this world is enmity with God. You know, I have to admit, we need to focus on America. America is the means to save the whole world. Without America, I don't know how anybody could get saved. Every missionary has come from America. I hope God's not done with it. Thank you for your great program.
Thank you. Indeed, Jesus is the Savior, but yes, I get your point here, Eddie. We need to proclaim him, and the U.S. still sending out missionaries around the world in that regard, and the importance of that, and how many other nations are sending them out any longer. Look what's happened in European nations that once sent out so many missionaries. Now it's hard to find churches that are open and proclaiming the gospel. Thank you for the call. Our next caller is from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Andrew, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. I kind of came into this thing late, but the only thing that I wanted to say was what hit me immediately when I turned it on, and that is the Bible tells us to test the spirits, that he's not the author of confusion.
Yeah.
And that his word does not return to us void.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Andrew.
Have a good day.
You too, now. We've got Scott in Conneaut, Ohio. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, all you wonderful Christians and lovers of God. I believe that this is spirit of Antichrist coming on strong to destroy the human family as it was when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter cut off Malchus' ear, and Jesus healed him. But he said, the prince of this world comes, and he has no part in me. And it was reminded me of a scripture verse that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And I believe that's what the devil is doing in this world, is trying to hurt God in what he tells us is his weakness. But God is forever strong and
Amen.
Loyal and full of grace.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for the call here. Scott, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to more of your calls. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, as the Secretary General of the United Nations, again, calling for this this global new deal, this new contract. You're a part of it. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Jesus said to the religious leaders of his day that they could discern the weather, but they could not understand the times. The signs of the time are all about us. The stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Notice what I said. I'm not saying it's being fulfilled right now, but the stage is being set for it to come to pass. The signs are everywhere. Good will be called evil. Evil will be called good. Today, if you are a conservative Christian, you're now a racist. We see the falling apart of moral values. Even the ability to defend one's own home. Have you heard about the couple in St. Louis that defended their home against a Black Lives Matter mob? Well, now the governor of Missouri is saying he'll pardon them if they're charged. But why should they ever be charged? They didn't break the law. The state law allows them to defend their property. Gold and silver are hitting highs for the last several years. There's talk of digital currency and much more. Are you noticing the signs of the time?
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and today sharing with you a speech just given by the UN Secretary General and how this is just getting louder and louder and louder, this mantra, and using COVID-19 as a catalyst for all of this. Now, friends, it should not take us by surprise what's going on, because number one, we know what Scripture says. Number two, we have been seeing since April these calls coming forth. Matter of fact, here's an article from townhall.com from April 7th, in which we have Kissinger declaring it's now an imperative that the world leaders, even as they deal with the raging pandemic, begin to make the transition to a post-coronavirus order. Failure to do so could set the world on fire. LifeSiteNews.com, this is the end of March of 2020, where we have a one-world government needed to cope with COVID-19, says a former British prime minister. And then also from LifeSiteNews.com, we had Antonio Guterres also here talking about that he wants 10% of the entire planet's annual income and funds for the coronavirus response and becoming the collection agency here for that as well. Isn't that interesting indeed? Now, I think also I just couldn't resist, but many of you in a recent program obtained the Thief in the Night series, as we have seen a clip from that film. Let me just air this one for you.
The Imperium in no way wishes to infringe upon the rights of the citizens of the world. It is just a simple necessity that each of us identify with Unite and fully support its progress and strategy. Let unity be the positive result of our common dilemma. Report today to your local Unite Identification Center and show yourself a true citizen of the world.
Yeah, I mean, that's going back here some decades here to The Thief of the Night, but my, how we're seeing so many of these things come before us here. You know, be part of this new world order, this new global New Deal, and very interesting indeed. Let's get back to your calls here today. We've got Jeff next in Appleton, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, I always say never trust an organization named UN, which I think stands for ungodly. Also goes along with our Democratic Party in the U.S. because they have the same platform as far as killing babies in the womb and same-sex marriage and creating division. Also, why would you glorify Nelson Mandela, who him and his wife were quite murderous people? They were very corrupt and evil. So when the world glamorizes them, just run. And then just quickly, wherever the U.N. goes, they leave corruption, mayhem, rape in their wake. So it was hard to listen to this man speak, because it's hard to listen to liars, but I do see why you played it, so we can see what they're thinking. So
thank you. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Washington, D.C. Vladimir, you're on the air.
Yes. My grandfather is Mr. Gutierrez, and our great-great-great-grandfather was in favor of a one world government. His name was Count Dracula.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the call. Carol in Idaho, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I have 1 Thessalonians 5:3. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like birth pains upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And this is a first thing that I thought of as I was listening to him.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, Vladimir, you know, sought to poke fun, you know, conspiracy, tinfoil hats. Folks, you're hearing this before your very ears, as this promotion for this global new deal, this new covenant that needs to come about. And certainly there are those who, that's just nutty talk coming from the United Nations, but it's right there before us. And we see the propulsion that is going toward that very end. Let's see. Sue is next in Phoenix. You're on the air, Sue.
Yes. I'm calling because sometimes I feel like there's a lot of just emotional stuff and not scriptural, and I really appreciate the last one who called in and great scripture behind it. I just like to see that because I think sometimes we don't always think it through. We just want to be heard on the radio.
Okay, so what is your scripture today, Sue?
You know what? I'll do trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path.
Great. Amen. Thank you, Sue. Merle in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. The first civil rights lawyer came in the form of Satan in the garden, and he was calling for equality. And another thing is, I don't know why we're scared to say that prophecy is being fulfilled in front of our eyes. We can't keep kicking it down the road. Thank you, Jim.
Okay. Well, as Dr. Jimmy DeYoung has said, the stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. We are not at the point of a one-world government at this point, but we see the propulsion toward that very end that's taking place, even through the speech here from the Secretary General. And indeed, very interesting question he asked, will you succumb to chaos, division, and inequality, or will you right the wrongs of the past and move forward together for the good of all? Don't you know this is for the good of the world? Let's go to Ron in Coshocton, Ohio. You're on the air, Ron.
Yeah, hello, Brother Jim. I haven't spoken to you in a while. You know, the Bible says that, you know, when I was 6 years old, I was in sitting at my grandmother's feet, she's reading the book of Revelation to me. And I couldn't refute her because the Bible was written before me and it was written before her. You know what I'm trying to say? I mean, if we could get over this coronavirus, but if we don't abolish the abortion laws and the same-sex marriage laws, we're going to have problems similar to this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm ready to meet the Lord, but I mean, you know, if we, like the Bible says, if we turn unto God and repent, He'll heal our land.
Yeah.
You know, and
Thank you, Ron. I've got your point there, and you've made some good points, and I appreciate the call. As maybe to sum it up, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Thank you for the call, and we aired this today for you to have cognizance of what is going on in this world today. It is not just some theories that are out there. And when you hear the people of that have come on Crosstalk speak, like Alex Newman and Tom DeWeese and others talking about those that are pushing us toward these sustainable development goals and so forth, this is the Secretary General of the United Nations pushing toward those very ends and pushing those 17 goals. And certainly it's troubling indeed. Now, our trust is in the Lord. We know what's going to come to pass. We need to be understanding of the times, and certainly we need to understand the importance of getting out the gospel while the time is still before us to do so. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.